So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Pray the Lord will just touch and work in our hearts. We appreciate Brother Gravely. Brother Gravely's been a real blessing. Him and his wife been a real blessing to us. We get to preach together every so often. Amen. And so I usually don't get to go back. He does, though. But I'm just kidding. Amen. We get to preach, and so what a blessing it is. And we got to work in the Bible college together, and then we started a Bible college, and it's been going on for several years now, about 12, I think. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so the Lord's just been so good to us. We've been pastoring Philadelphia Baptist Church for almost 22 years. And about 2 years ago, the Lord began to really burden my heart and troubling my nest. And said, son, you're not going to stay here. I told my wife that we won't be able to stay, and she almost divorced me. But anyway, amen. I told her we're going to have to leave. And I said, I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but I believe it'd be in missions. We've always had a heart for missions. And our church has been a mission-minded church. When we left, we were supporting 127 mission works. And so God's already always blessed us in missions. I was taking 3 missions trips a year. And I've been around what they call Help Evangelize I Was Lost people. It started in 1994 in Florida, but Scotty Drake went over into Mexico, had some missionaries over there, trained some men. They graduated from Bible college without starting churches. Brother Scotty Drake said, you know, if we'll just give these men a little bit of money, these national pastors, they can do so much for just a little. They can do so much. And so he went back and got 10 churches together in southern Florida, and they started Help Evangelize Lost People. Now, that's been 30 years ago. And then that one country, now we're in over 60 countries, and God's helping us. And so, I mean, these nationals are doing a wonderful job, you know, reaching the lost. And most of them have been won to the Lord by American missionary, been trained by American missionary. And then they went out and began to work. We got like Brother Gerald Johns, he's in Guyana. He was won to the Lord by American missionary, trained by American missionary, and he's been at his church for 25 years. Amen. He started 13 other churches. I got to go down there and preach in what they call a crusade. We call it a tent meeting. Strangest thing you ever seen, there's a paved road just a little bit bigger than that pew there. Cars can barely pass on it. You put a big old tent up over it. At day, the cars and trucks. At night, you start setting out seats. No policemen, no nothing. The traffic just stops. Amen. We put out 250 seats right on that paved road. That tent right over it, put a pulpit, put the platform up there. Matter of fact, I had one boy ride his bicycle right down the middle and took a ride. Amen. Well, I was preaching. Amen. And ladies would be bringing their kids down, have groceries and stuff, and walking beside the tent because that was just a faraway, you know, traveling place, you know, for them to travel. In that tent, we had 44 people saved. Yep. And then those 4 nights, had 44 people saved. And they started Blackwater Baptist Church, and an elderly lady got saved in that service. And she said, y'all can use my house. And they just built a little shed off the side of the house, built a real fancy bathroom at the end of a path. Y'all get that later. And then they started church there. And so now they're running about 40 adults, about 40 kids. And Philadelphia Baptist Church helped build some of the church, some other churches. And so now they've got a building, and they're finishing it up. We want them to have a part in it, so they're finishing up the church and putting some stuff in it. And so it should be started. They're hoping it'll get started in August and have their first service in the building. They're still having service there. And so that would make the 13th church he started. Amen. In Guyana. Amen. Amen. And I got to visit several of those churches and see how God was working. In his church, he runs about 250. In the other church they started, they run about 150. Some beautiful buildings. And the Lord's just working. He got several men working under him. And so we support those men. And these national pastors, they just do a lot with a little. And so that's what we're doing. And so you say, what's your job? My job is to go around and tell people just what I've done and try to get churches like this to support these men. You know, and you say, how much will we support them? Well, we support some $60. Well, that shocked you, didn't you?
Yeah.
Y'all didn't think we'd support that much, did you? Some of them we support $80. Some of them we support $200, $300, $400, $500. Now, I just said $60, and you went, this guy's crazy. You realize in Kenya, $150 is what the average person makes a month. Okay? All right? So you got to realize we're in a different economy. Amen. And so we have to support according to how that economy is. And then, of course, plus men have other men that are under them. I got the privilege in September to meet Brother George Satuma. And Brother George Satuma, when I met him, was 51 years old. And he told me how he got saved. I got to take him around to some churches. Maybe Brother Gravel let me bring some nationals in here and bring them around and let you meet them. And just like I said, I took 3 mission trips. One of those was a youth trip that we took our seniors out of our high school, and anybody from the 9th. The 12th grade could go, and we had a desire in our Christian school, 9th, 12th grade, that they would set their foot on a foreign soil and see a missionary and see what it was like to be a missionary for. So we done that for several years and took them. And so it's amazing. But Sam, I can go into a foreign country. They'll open up their governmental school. I preach all day long in it, be in it as long as I want to. Okay? You can give out Bibles, give out tracts, do whatever you want to do. I mean, we do that, and we do that multiple times during a trip. We'll go in them schools and we'll preach. Well, I wonder what has happened to somebody. We have people get saved, and you wonder what happened. Well, Brother George Satuma, somebody came to his school. He don't know who it was. They preached the gospel, and he got saved as a young man. About 10th or 11th grade, he got saved. But the missionary never come back. He didn't have, I mean, sometimes we'll drive 3 to 4 hours just to get to a school to do that all day long. We preach all morning long in the elementary schools all the way up, and then go eat lunch, and then come back and get in the high schools, and we'll be there all day long. But then we leave. Yeah. And so just think about that. Just think about you got saved. Yeah. Nobody ever helped you grow or anything like that. And so he said he got his first adult job. He got his first adult job, and he got sick on a Saturday. He got sick at work, and they sent him to a different part of town he had never been to. And he was walking back home and walked by a Baptist church in Kenya. Yep. Now, if I don't do something for you, something's wrong.
That's right.
And guess what was happening? Brother Sam, the choir was practicing on Saturday afternoon, and he loved singing, so he slipped in the back. He said they were so nice to him, they made him promise he'd come back to church the next morning. He said he left some mad at himself. He said, I'm a man of my word, but I sure don't want to go to no Baptist church because I don't know nothing about it. Amen. He said, I don't know what they'll do tomorrow. So he came back to church. He said the American missionary got up and preached the word of God. Amen. And he said, I had questions. And he said, I've never had a man take the Bible and answer my questions. He's a grown man now. Okay? He said, I came back next Sunday. I had more questions. And this is in his own words. You hear him tell his testimony. This is what he said. I've been Baptist ever since.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Now, when I met him, he's 51 years old now. Okay, now what happened? That American missionary left that church and went to plant another church, left that with a national pastor, and took Brother Satuma with him. And then good reasons and bad reasons, sometimes missionaries have to leave. Yep. That missionary had to leave, so he left his church with Brother George. Brother George had been pastoring that church 21 years when I met him. He's 51 years old.
Yep.
He started 9 other churches out of it.
Hallelujah.
And you can go to Facebook and find him, George Satuma. And he's got 300 in his Christian school. Amen. See people saved. We see people saved every year in a Christian school. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you what, God's just using these men to do great works for the Lord, Brother Hill. God's just using them nationals. And you know, but a lot, we have to have the American missionaries too. We're not against American missionaries.
Sure.
Amen. This is what I say about our ministry, and I say about missionaries. Missionaries to this church. Now, you got a lot of missionaries that are going through this church. What a blessing that is. And a lot of churches like that. Amen. But missionaries to your church is a tool to help you get the Great Commission.
That's right.
Missionary, and if we don't use these nationals as a tool also,
right.
These nationals can help us. As a matter of fact, the job of our missionaries, our American missionaries, is to go over there, get those church planted, get people saved, train them, and leave them as the national pastors and go and start another one. That's what most church planters wants to do. Don't watch it. Sometimes they just get settled in there, and it don't seem like they do that. And then if they don't wean them off a little bit, then it's hard for them to continue to go on.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And so, but these missionaries, these national missionaries, are doing a great work for the Lord. So Deborah and I's job is just to go around church like yours and try to get you to support some of these men that's doing a great work. Now, right now, I'm doing something I never dreamed I'd do. I'm going around asking people to support me. It's not a fun thing. It really isn't. Amen. Never said, let's just get a job and just go. Amen. But I'm telling you what, God's been gracious. We've been doing this 8 months. I put a little over 33,000 miles on the car. This is the 76th church I've been in, and I'm at 40%, and I thank the Lord for it. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ruth and pray that the Lord would touch your heart as we try to preach. I will say this as you're finding your place. In 2023 in Nepal, we planted 6 new churches through help evangelize lost people. In India, which is a great field, we have a lot of people getting saved in India. Started 13 Baptist churches in India with some of our men. And in 3 churches in Kenya and Burma, we started 4 churches. And can I tell you, missions does not begin overseas. It begins in your seat.
That's right.
And it's with you. Yeah. Amen. Hey, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. I guarantee you that. Amen. So we want to ask you to pray and help us as we try to get these nationals known and get some money to them that they can reach the lost, get the gospel. Amen. Because I tell you what, I believe it. You know, y'all believe Jesus is coming?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, over half the world's never heard about his first coming.
That's right. That's right.
Over half the world's never heard about his first coming. Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's read in the Bible. Book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. And when we come to this book of Ruth, I just kind of say it like this. If I could, you know, years ago we went out to eat and they had this placemat that they put out. And on this placemat, it had a picture on it. And on the side of the picture, it had some little things. And it was objects that you could find inside the picture. You know two things when that happened. First of all, you're going to wait a long time on your food. Okay? Because they gave you something to play while it's going on. Okay? Second, you'll hopefully get a very good meal because it's going to be cooked and it's going to be warm. Yeah. But we went down to that. Well, I'm going to look at the book of Ruth. I'm going to give you the big picture. And then I hope we can go back and just pick out some things that would be the small picture.
Amen.
We realize the big picture is simply this. There's a Jewish family. A famine comes into the land. As a famine comes into the land, they decide to leave the Bethlehem, Judea, the house of bread, and they decided to go down to Moab, top of the world. They decided to go down there. When they went down there, the two sons married. The dad dies, the two sons die. And then we find a lady by the name of Naomi, and she brings Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, and we'd say daughter in love, wouldn't we? We had daughter-in-laws, and she brings them back to Bethlehem, Judea. And Ruth finds and meets a man by the name of Boaz. They get married and have a little child. And I'll just preach to you the whole book of Ruth. Don't you wish your pastor could do that fast? Amen. I just preach to you. But in that big picture of that thing, I think we can see some little things.
Amen.
Amen. I believe if we looked over here to the side, we could find some things. And there's some things in that. And so I wanted to do that. And I want to ask you to help me to do that tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for this wonderful church. God, it's such a wonderful testimony. We thank you for the pastor, great man of God. God, I pray tonight that you'll just use us to say something to stir their heart, help them to get closer to you, do something more for you. God, I pray there'll be one here lost today, tonight, God, they get birthed in the family of God. Father, will you take your word, your workman, and do your will, and we'll give you all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I gave you the big picture. We really realize as we come, the very first thing we see in verse number 1, that there's a famine that's came into the land. Now, if you look at Elimelech, his name means my God is king. Naomi means pleasant, and Maon means a song. And Adrian Rogers said that Chilion, his name meant to be perfection. So you see this wonderful Jewish family, and they're just a perfect little family, it seems like. You know, you got children as a song, and children as perfection, and none of you have children like that. But anyway, we didn't raise them like that anyway. But anyway, we have this beautiful picture of a Jewish family, but we find something. We find a famine comes into the land.
Yes.
And I tell you, I don't know how long you've been saved here tonight. I don't know how long you've been serving the Lord, but I want to tell you this, famines will come. Now, there's 13 famines in the Word of God, and most of the time when the famine came about all the time in the Word of God, except for maybe once or twice, the famine came because God's people turned away from God.
That's right.
They turned away from God. Now, we realize that this is in the days of the judges. If you go to the last verse of the last chapter of Judges, right on the page before it, it'll say, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Matter of fact, I see a picture here of this couple, this Jewish, wonderful Jewish family. And I believe we could say today, I see a lot of it today, and famine is coming. Can I tell you, famine is going to come in your life. Trials are going to come. Trouble is going to come. Storms are going to come in your life.
Yes.
But it's the choices you make that's what makes the difference.
That's right.
It's what you decide to do in the midst of those. You know what I find out about this man? I find out there's no calling on God. There's no seeking, no counsel.
Amen.
I mean, matter of fact, you know what we find? We find he turns away from his Lord, he turns away from his law, and he turns away from his land. He leaves all that to go down to a place called Moab. And Moab was a cursed place. Matter of fact, God said it was his washpot. And matter of fact, can I tell you that's the world today?
That's right.
I don't know how many times I've pastored. I've been pastoring over 30 years, 22 years at Philadelphia Baptist Church. There are sending church, sending us out. Amen.
Yes.
I will say this. They gave us a good send out service. And I recommended the pastor and they voted him in. His first Sunday was a Sunday before I left. And he preached my going out service. I just didn't like the way they named it. Out with the old, in with the new. Amen. But we realize, here we see Elimelech, he's got his family, and I mean, he's forsaken all these different things he's forsaken. We see that, and this in the days of judges when men was doing that with their own eyes, and have 30 years of pastoring. You know what I found out? There's a lot of people sitting in the pew that decide to do that which is right in their own eyes.
That's right. Tell it, preacher.
Famines are going to come, troubles are going to come, trials are going to come, and they decided it. I wish I could say this, Brother Gravity, I wish I could say, You know, I've had somebody say, you know, preacher, I need to talk to you. Now, can I just help Brother Gravely out for a second? If you tell Brother Gravely you need to talk to him, just go ahead and let him know what you need to talk to him about. Let him pray about it. Not he's going to wander for a whole week, stay up half the night sometime. He'll be talking, what in the world's going on? Amen. Just tell him. If you're going to give him $40,000, just tell him. Amen. Yeah, preacher, I need to talk to you. I tell you what, preacher, I need to talk to you. When come that day to talk, we'd sit down, and they would have a concern, have a question, and I'd take the Bible. And I'm not talking about these gray areas. I'm talking about black and white in the Word of God.
Yes,
and I would just show them and share with them what the Bible says about the concerns that they have. Now, I wish I could say 90% of the time, they walked out and said, preacher.
Yeah.
That's it. I wish I could say 50% of the time. But I'll just say, he's probably a lot better counselor than I am. But I'd say probably about 25, 30% of the time.
You're right, brother.
They went out and done right. And the rest of the time, they went out and did that which is right in their own eyes. You know, we don't call it that today. You know what we call it today? Follow your heart.
Tell it, preacher.
Oh, just follow your heart. You know, I believe follow your heart has probably destroyed more marriages.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Maimed more bodies.
Yep.
Amen. Caused more abortions. Amen. Broke up more homes. Messed up more churches. Just follow your heart. Hey, I'll give you something to follow. Won't you follow the one that made your heart?
Amen.
We live in a world that don't want to realize that that Bible is the authoritative Word of God. Amen. And so he didn't seek any counsel. He didn't seek any God. He didn't want to find him praying. He just decided to do, he just followed his heart. Just do that which was right in his own eyes.
Yes.
And we see what happened. We see he passed away. His two sons passed away. And then we find Naomi. Now we find Naomi. And I want you to read a verse when we go to chapter number 1 and verse number 20. And the Bible says this, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara.
Yes.
For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Now you just found my text tonight. The Bible says, she said, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, I got a problem with the verse. Not the Bible. I got a problem with Naomi.
Yeah.
Because you know what my Bible says? My Bible says in Psalms, the Lord is gracious.
Yes.
He's full of compassion.
Yes.
And the Bible goes on to say, he says, slow to anger and of great mercy. Hey, that's the God I know.
Yeah.
He said, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Yes.
Even Jonah, when he turned his back on God, and then God put him in the whale's belly, and he came on out of that. Then he said this about God in Jonah. In Jonah, let me get to it right here. In Jonah, he said this. He said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God.
Yes.
And merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He said, I knew that's what kind of God you was. I'll tell you what. And so here we find Naomi. And I think we find her, you know what's wrong? She's fighting bitterness.
That's right.
The Lord has dealt very, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Lord is, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
Amen.
Well, we looked at the big picture. I just want to find this thing. I think if you look over here to the side to find something, you'll see a little thing that says mercy. So find mercy in that picture. If we look around that picture, we'll see around that lady's, in that picture, a lady's, her attire she'll have on a necklace. And if you look on that necklace, it'll say mercy.
Yep.
And don't you see, look at verse number 6 of chapter number 1. The very first thing we see is we see the mercies of God. The Bible says this, then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Naomi, I got a problem with what you're thinking about your Lord. I got a problem with what you say about our God. I got a problem with the testimony you have about him, that he is a one that he has dealt very bitterly with you. Hey, you don't realize, but he let you hear.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Hey, he did not have to bestow mercy upon her. I tell you what, when we think about these people that's come to church and we've pastored with them and troubles and famines that came and they've left the house of God.
Yes.
They went down to this place, that place, and then some just completely got out of church. I tell you what, many of them don't never make it back.
That's right.
Many of them, you know what, I tell you what, they need to hear. I tell you what, the mercies of God is on her because she just at least got to hear.
Yes.
She at least got to hear, amen, that God was blessing once again. You know what she heard about? She heard about the Lord.
Yes.
You know what she heard? She heard about his presence. He's back in the land. She heard about his provisions. There's bread back there. She heard about his power, how that there was his peace back there again. And I'm telling you, now, Naomi, you need to really think about this. You sure the Lord's dealt very bitterly with me? Very first time, don't you see, you realize, she got to realize this. She got to simply realize it. What? The blessings of hearing. She got to hear. The Lord, somebody, I just, since I've become a missionary, I preach a little bit there. Yeah, you know, I meet somebody just became a missionary. Went down to Moab, was passing through. Said, I want to tell y'all about the Lord. Tell you what, he's been back in the homeland. Amen. We'll tell you, aren't you glad? Isn't that what we're supposed to be telling the world today?
That's right.
Aren't we supposed to be telling them about Jesus, what he's done for you and I? Aren't we supposed to be a testimony, a light, and let them know that he is the Lord? There's provision. Hey, there's bread. There's peace in him. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
That's what a missionary does. He goes to, you realize, 8.1 billion people in the world. 8.1 billion now. Over half of them. That's over 4 billion people has never heard.
God help. God help.
Over 4 billion people has never even seen a whole Bible. Right. Never even seen one, at least hold it in hand. Never even seen it. They've never even seen it. I'll tell you what, sitting in this building right now tonight is the mercy of God that you and I have been able to hear the gospel. I'm not one time, but many times. Hey, why do you get to hear it two or three times when over half the world has never heard it once?
That's right.
And over three-fourths of the world has probably never heard a clear presentation of the gospel.
Yes.
Of the truthness of the gospel. How Jesus saves. All some of them have heard about the perversion of the gospel. They've heard about false gospels, different things like that, but they've not heard the true story about how Jesus Christ came from glory, gave his life's blood on Calvary's cross. Amen. And on that third and glorious day, he arose from the grave. And hey, he's seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. Amen. They've not heard the truth of the gospel. They've not heard, boy, thank God for the power of the gospel. It has the power to save, has the power to change and convert, has the power to claim you and I. Thank God for the gospel. And they've never heard it. The blessing in here. You know what? She got to hear. She got to hear. She got to hear the good news that the Lord was in the land again.
Yes.
But not only that, the Bible says that they made their journey back.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you what, that wasn't an easy journey for two ladies to make back.
No, sir.
I'm going to tell you this. He brought her back.
Amen.
Naomi, you got to come back to your homeland. Like I said a minute ago, sometime, a lot of you young people, there's a lot of young people sitting here tonight. Some of you are not going to continue on like you should.
Preach it, brother.
This preacher could tell you story after story, and I could tell you story after story. Raised in good churches, heard the gospel all their life, and they've left an outlet out to the world.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, very few of them ever makes it back.
You're right, brother.
Some of them are not going to make it back. You know why? They're in an early grave.
Yes,
I'm not talking about lost people.
No, sir.
I'm talking about young people I believe with all my heart. I've got some right now. They used to sing in our choir. They used to go visitation and witness. I mean, they had a testimony. They knew God, and I believe they're saved.
Oh, yeah.
They're living out in this world now.
That's right.
God, yeah. We got a young man that came back to our church about 4 years ago now. I mean, he's shouting, praising God, still in the choir. Yeah. I mean, he looks he's got all the marks of this world on him. I mean, if he was here tonight, he wouldn't mind me telling him. He'd stand up, tell you that Jesus loved him. He got saved as a young boy and got out in this world and got all messed up in a lot of things.
Yes.
But you know what? He made it back. He's one of the few.
That's right. That's right. That's the truth.
Now, if I can just preach for a second, Pastor. Mom and Dad, you'd better make sure you really, really consider. You really think hard. Pray really hard before you leave a good Baptist church, Bible preaching church.
Amen.
Decide to take it because your kids wants to go somewhere else and hear something else. You bet, because they seem like they're having a little bit more fun down there, or they're a little more slack down there. You better think twice before you do that.
That's right.
Because your children. Now, let me just throw something in here. I know pastors and I know men of God and I know people in our church that raise their children. They raise their children right more than like we did.
Yeah.
And their children's out in the world.
Tell it. That's right.
Now, I don't understand all that.
That's right.
Now, I don't understand what you're facing tonight. And I don't understand what you're going through. But I tell you this, God has made no mistakes.
Yep. That's right.
And children will follow what they decide to follow. They have a free will.
Amen.
Amen. A free will. I got to hurry up. I got a lot of preaching to do. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, Naomi, the Lord has dealt so bitter with me. Well, he let you hear.
Yes.
The blessings of hearing.
Yep.
He brought you back.
That's right.
And then, look at chapter number 2, verse number 2. You'll find that Ruth that came back, that Moabite, she says this. She says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace."
Amen.
And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." I believe if we look at that big picture, over here in the side, there'd been a little thing that says grace. And we begin to look on that big picture, and you're going to see a road sign. It says Grace Boulevard. Amen. Headed to the Holy Lands. Amen. Pointing towards the Holy Land. And we realize that grace is involved. Thank God for mercy, but thank God for grace. Amen. Now, y'all have to help me out here. Okay? See, what she came, the baggage she brought became a blessing.
Yes.
I tell you, the only one that can do this, God's the only one to take a crooked stick. Dr. Seitler always taught us and said this, God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line.
Yep.
Amen. Now, we don't get out into sin just to have a testimony. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people that's gone out in sin and came back, and there is a testimony to that for the goodness and mercy and grace of God. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. But can I tell you, I want you to think about this now. See, she was a Moabite. She was cursed. The same law that cursed her is the same law that claimed her.
Yep, man. That's right.
Says she's cursed Moabite, but said that same Lord that gave that law. So the Bible says all the sin and came short of the glory of God.
Right.
But oh, yet he said that. But yet, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The same Lord that cursed us, the same Lord made us a way that we could be saved. Amen.
That's right.
And so when we look at Ruth and we see that she and Moabite, she's cursed. I mean, we realize, go to Leviticus 25, we read about a kinsman redeemer. Amen. Now, see, you read verse number 1, you get messed up because they talk about the kinsman redeemer. But Sarah Ruth didn't know anything about that. Okay, she just goes down. Matter of fact, Naomi don't even know anything about it. Okay, and so we realize that Ruth goes down there to find grace. And guess what she finds? She finds a kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
That, guess what she did? That sought her.
Yes.
She goes in just to find grace, and she's in the field. And that's by chance that day Boaz came to look at the field. And he looks down there, and you know what he says? Woo! I mean, he said, "Whose damsel is this?" Amen. I'll tell you, one day he looked down at you. He went, "Whose damsel is this?" Amen. He saw you. Amen. We realize she's a picture of a Gentile being saved by the grace of God,
amen,
being put into the family of God. Now that baggage, that we would consider baggage, that we would consider she brought back, finally became a blessing to Naomi.
Yep.
All right. I don't understand that. I don't understand how all that works out. You said, it's easy preaching. It's hard living. But I don't understand how all this happens.
Yep.
But I will tell you this. Naomi, the Lord has dealt so bitter with me. You really said? Because I just read in chapter number 3 that these two comes, they fall in love and get married. And you know what Boaz is? The Bible says he's a mighty man of faith. The Bible tells us that he's real wealthy. I just dare say, after they got married, that Naomi never did have to worry about another meal.
Amen.
I just dare say that the blessings of God was upon her. Amen.
I believe that.
And then another thing. They get married and have a little baby.
Yes.
And then the lady said about that baby, Obed, said, "He's better than 7 sons to you."
Amen.
Amen. Now I got a little illustration tonight, if you'll help me out. Naomi said, the Lord has dealt so bitter with me. I brought a hammer. Don't laugh at my little hammer. It's hard to hide a big hammer come up here. This is my Bob the Builder hammer. Let this hammer represent time, situations, things that come in your life, trials and troubles. Your time comes to us all. We don't know what's going to come. I've got a nail with me tonight. This is old 16-penny common nail. If this nail could talk tonight, you know what it'd say? Boy, life, the hammer, is really rough on me. Say, I don't know what you faced. Say, Naomi, I don't know what's made you bitter tonight. I don't know. You said that never would happen to our family, and it has happened.
Yeah.
You never thought your children, it happened. You never thought it would come in your family. It came. Financial reversal, it came. Troubles and sins and trials, it came. And the nail would say, oh, how rough. And oh, how time. And oh, how pitiful. The Lord has dealt very bitter with me. But I want you to remember this. The carpenter that holds the nail is the same hand that holds the hammer.
Amen. That's right.
There's a sovereign God.
Yes. Yes.
I said, there's a sovereign God.
Amen. That's right.
Naomi, she's over there. Oh, the Lord is dealt fairly bitter with me. Hey, don't judge him. Don't judge him until we get to chapter number 4.
Yeah.
Okay, Naomi.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lord.
Yes. Help me.
Hey, don't judge him. Don't judge him. Because you don't know exactly what all he's doing in your life.
That's
hey,
right.
You may think it's the worst day of your life. You may think you're going through the greatest trial. Why did he take my husband? Why did he take my child? I don't know what storm you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. But I tell you this, there's a sovereign God that's working behind the scenes. He's working for you. He's working for his honor and his glory to bring something out good. He's doing something behind the scenes that you don't know about.
That's right. Hallelujah. Yes.
All you can do is feel the blows.
Yeah.
All you can feel the pain. All you can feel the agony. But you know what I found out? Every carpenter's got a nail and a hammer out. He's a building something.
He's doing something.
He's a working.
Right.
Somebody had to build this place.
Right.
Amen. He's a build. And I don't know what kind of nail you are. There's different kind of nails, you know.
Yeah.
This is a 15, this is a 16 penny. Yeah. Finishing nail. This is not a 16 penny, it's 16. It's finishing nail. So this is going to go. This is going to go in a doorway to hold the door up, make it steady, and then they're going to put putty over it. Yep. Nobody's going to ever know it's there.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So this world may never see you. They may not realize what's doing, but you're being used of the Lord, and God's doing something in your life. I'm telling you, He's working behind.
Yes.
There's a sovereign God. Hey, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a missionary. It'd be hard to be a Calvinist if you're a missionary. But I tell you what, I'm not going to let the Calvinist rob me of a sovereign God.
Amen.
Oh, man, it's working behind the scenes.
Amen.
An unseen hand. An unseen hand is a working behind the scenes. He's not done yet. And some of us won't know until we get on the other side. Some of us won't know what He's really been doing. But I'm telling you, God's doing a work. God's doing a work. He'll never do you wrong.
Right.
Oh, how bitter. Oh, the Almighty has dealt so bitter. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? Your daughter-in-law name is over in Matthew in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Oh, he's just been so bad to you, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, what's the last word in that book in Ruth? What's the very last word? His name's David, the so sweetest Psalm David. It's in her lineage.
Yes.
Amen. She might even could have lived to see David. We don't know. Amen. But I'm just telling you, God's working behind the scenes. Can I tell you this? Genesis 22. Very few places in the Word of God, God has asked man to play God.
Yeah.
He said, Abraham, give thy son, the son thou lovest. Take him on Mount Moriah. You know, the Bible says the gospel was preaching to Abraham.
That's right.
Abraham looked down through the time and seen Calvary.
Yes.
I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Believe that.
Amen. Because the Bible says in Genesis 22, when he came to that place, which he's seen.
Yes.
He built the altar. Now, okay, we realize, now Abraham was pretty old when he had Isaac.
Yep.
Y'all remember Sunday school? Okay. So he's walking. You know what a senior, oh no. Let me rephrase that. You know what you senior saints do? As you get a little bit older, you know what we do? We forget. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. You know that's the truth. Yeah, we forget. And so Isaac looks around. We don't even know what a burnt offering is until we get to the book of Leviticus.
That's right.
We're in Genesis 20. We've got to read a long time to find out what it is. But I tell you what, Isaac knew what it was.
Yes, he did.
He looked, he seen the fire. They didn't have no big lighter. It had something that was carrying a fire in it. Okay, he had a knife, an instrument of death. He had the wood on his shoulders. He knew he was taking the wood up there. He's very aware of the wood. That's something else. He's very aware of the wood.
Yep.
Yeah. But he looks at Father Abraham and he says, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God.
Yes.
looks down through time, the gospel's been preached. He said, God will provide himself.
Yep.
We get up there, he's fixing to kill his son, a voice from out of the voice from another world. God, I said, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. He said it twice. Abraham was determined.
Yes.
And he looked and he seen a ram. Can I submit to you? While Abraham and Isaac walking up one side, there's an unseen hand leading the ram up the other side.
Amen.
Can I tell you this? There's a little ram born. And his horns begin to grow. And it grew. We could get stuck in it. We'd be stuck with vine. There's a little bird flying along. It dropped a little seed and a little brush and thicket began to grow. And it grew just where it could hook onto those horns. You said, you're crazy. I ain't crazy. There's an almighty God that's been preparing that the whole time.
Yes.
I'm telling you, God's working behind the scenes
that's
in your
right.
life. God is doing something for you. And while he's doing something to you, he's doing something through you, that he might do something for you.
Yes.
And you may be at the end. You may be over here.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
I didn't know why I had to face them things. Yes. I didn't know why my husband had to die. I don't know why my son had to die. But oh, what you've done. This has been something miraculous. Oh, you've let a Redeemer come in our life. Ruth's been put into the family.
Yes.
Amen. And now I've got this little baby boy, Obed. And you know what his name means? Worship. She's a worshiping God now. I tell you, it's not over. It's not over.
Right.
It's not over. God's still doing something behind the scene. God's still doing something in your life.
Amen.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
David. He goes down to Gath. He's coming back. Coming to Ziklag. Bible says something there. It says it's a 3-day journey. He gets there. I can see them guys marching along, you know, just walking along. They see smoke ahead. They're about home. They see smoke. They're not just marching down. They're running. They get up to the top of the hill, look down into Ziklag, and it's on fire. It's burning smoke. All their children's been taken. All their wives have been taken. All their stuff's been taken, and everything's been burned. Matter of fact, it said this. The men were so disturbed that they thought of stoning David.
Yeah.
The man that he sold their whole life out to.
That's right.
David, the Bible said, he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Went down and prayed. Said, Lord, shall we pursue? He said, pursue, and you'll recover all.
Yes.
There's not very much time there because there were several men that was not able to continue on because they were weary from the journey. So immediately they're going.
Yeah.
They don't get very far, and they find a little Egyptian slave.
Yeah.
It's the grace of God, the Egyptian slave's even alive. Not trying to be mean or cruel, just trying to tell you what the custom was in that day. If an Egyptian slave becomes sick or become unworthy of service and wouldn't be able to serve, they just killed him, just like you would a horse that broke its leg. That was the custom of that day. But somebody let him live. It's called grace. Something let him live. And so those men come, and you guess who they find? They find that little Egyptian boy. And this is what he said. He said, what's wrong? He said, 3 days ago, I fell sick. See, y'all, I was going to mess y'all theology up. I'm sorry. Before David did this, God had already made a way. God had already made a little Egyptian slave get sick.
Yes.
God is already working out for them to be able to recover all. I'm telling you, there's an unseen hand that's working behind, working in your life. There's a God. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a sovereign God that's working things out for your honor, for your glory.
Yep.
And tonight, you could be like Naomi. Oh, the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. What's keeping you from serving God?
Yeah.
What's holding you back from doing something? Maybe a failure's holding you back. Maybe some sin. Well, I'm glad God said if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us sin, cleanse from all unrighteousness. You say, well, he wouldn't use me. I just want to remind y'all something. Y'all heard of a man by the name of Moses?
Amen.
Have y'all ever heard of Moses? Yeah. Now, y'all could tell me all kinds of things about Moses, but I guarantee you wouldn't even think about this, wouldn't even say it. Oh, you tell me how he led the children of Israel? Boy, you tell me how he spread out through God. He raised up that rod. Them seas turned back. They walked over on dry ground. I mean, he smoked that rock and water came forth. You tell me all those things. But may I remind you something? Let's go back earlier in his life when he was an Egyptian. He killed a man.
That's right.
I mean, he murdered a man.
That's right.
What's your excuse now, big boy?
Yeah.
Why can't you serve God now?
Amen.
Well, if you don't watch it, you'll be in that point. Well, I can't because of this, I can't because of that. I tell you what, you can do whatever God wants you to do.
That's right.
God wants to work it out. God's left you here for a purpose, to serve God and do something for the Lord. He's been working behind the scenes in your life.
Yes.
He's been working behind the scenes. Aren't you glad there's a God, a sovereign God? I hope you ain't got a problem with that. A sovereign God that's working things out.
That's right.
For His glory.
Yes.
And for our good. Tonight, what's keeping you from serving God? I'm gonna really stump some of you out here. I mean, you're going to probably disagree with me. But in missions, Brother Hill, in missions, I know we think this, but we don't have a money problem.
No.
You know what we got? We got a man problem.
Yes.
You can have $1 million if you don't have nobody to do something with it.
That's exactly right.
And I'll tell you what, people are not submitting to God's will.
Tell it, preacher.
And they're not going to the mission field.
That's right.
There's plenty of preachers here. And I'm not preaching against you preachers that are here.
You're here.
But I'll tell you what, there's places. I talked to a preacher yesterday. He said he left a church in Virginia. And he came down here to pastor. And another man took that church, and that man has died. And when that man died, nobody would take that church over. He said, we still own the people still own the building. The building still sits there, but nobody pastored.
Yes, sir.
I pastored. I said, hey, there's a church about 3 hours, 4 hours away looking for a pastor. And I said, preacher, that's wonderful, but I really like to stay here at home with my family and everything.
Well, yeah.
Now, I don't know what God's will is for your life. It may be God's will for you to sit here and rest your life. You understand, I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or anything.
Good preaching.
Okay, I don't know what God's will for your life. But I tell you, I come by to tell y'all tonight that there is a work to be done.
That's right.
There is a mission to be done. And when you get, Dr. Terry Ellis says this, and Brother Ellis is a pastor, is a member of this church. So y'all told him I've talked real nice about him because I don't like him no more. He knows he kicked me off the board. I was on the board. Kicked me off. I don't like him no more. I had to preach with him a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I said, I don't like this guy. I had to get right before I came up here to preach. I'm just joking about that. But this is what Brother L says, and he probably has said it here. He said, if we could freeze the population, he says 8 million, it's 8.1 now. If we could freeze the population and nobody else be born, it'd take us 243 years to save the people's lost right now.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You've heard him say it. 243 years, excuse me. To save, to get everybody saved. You know why? We ain't got people going.
That's the truth.
Some won't go because some circumstances that came in their life. And they've got bitter on the Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're like Naomi, the Almighty has dealt so bitterly with me. No, He's just been working behind the scenes. I'll tell you what, He wants to use you. He wants to use you right here in this church. He wants to use you to do something for Him. He wants to use you to do something. We're standing, our heads bowed. Would there be somebody meet me in the altar and pray with me and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to be one of those. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be a has-been. Maybe you know somebody that's out there in the world that needs to come back. Maybe they need to hear from you. Maybe they need to hear from you. The pastor's coming. Thank y'all so much.